At the top of our program today, economic developers often refer to Michigan State University's FRIB as a game changer. The $730 million nuclear science facility, set to launch in about 6 years with around 400 employees, will be the most powerful rare isotope research site in the world. It'll explore the physics of atomic nuclei with potential applications in medicine, defense, and other areas. But what other economic impacts might stem from FRIB and from NioWave, another established particle acceleration firm based here in Lansing? Well, two Lansing economic development leaders join me to explain their effort to leverage this scientific activity. Bob Trezise is president and CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Mark.
And Tim Damon is CEO of the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate your joining us here this morning. I want to ask first about all the hoopla on Wednesday at NioWave. Senator Gary Peters and both of you, as I understand it, gathered there. What's going on at NioWave that warranted that get-together, Bob?
Well, NioWave is the gift that keeps on giving. NioWave, to me, perfectly represents the new Lansing, and I use the term Lansing in a regional sense, not just a city proper sense. There's something spectacular happening. We've become a global economy, for sure. The growth, population growth, new businesses is honestly off the chart. I mean, just in the last 2 weeks, we've realized that our GDP, again, gross domestic product, is 2.4%. is surpassing, for instance, our good benchmark to look at is Ann Arbor. We admire them very much, and we're about to surpass Ann Arbor. Now we realize the Urban Institute has declared that in their population analysis that our region will be the number one population growth region in the state of Michigan, not just in percentages, but real terms, 77,000 people over the next 15 years by the year 2030. I mean, we just have a slew of new businesses, and MSU and President Simon have played a role in that. LEAP has played a role in it. The Lansing Chamber has been amazing.
But what's happening at NioWave that kind of captures what's going on?
Well, they keep having greater, they have greater and greater inventions. They talked about one when we were there, that one that they're going to unveil this summer. They have a brand new, almost completed medical isotope production facility at the airport, $202 million facility. And a lot of it has to do with these isotopes and laser technologies and carving out a $3 billion niche in the pharmaceutical markets that are 100% right now existing only in Canada and Europe. So not only is this company a beachhead, a new industry spun out of really the accelerator here at MSU with ideas and talent, but they're really a beachhead in the state and, in fact, the United States in this area.
What's your take on this, Tim Damon?
Well, I think when you look at it from a university standpoint and you talk about their role in economic development, and Bob mentioned this with President Simon and her leadership, I mean, this is a classic casebook example of technology transfer and commercialization. And Dr. Terry Grimm kind of coming out of the cyclotron lab a number of years ago and launching NioWave, and to see what they're doing today has just been phenomenal for our region. And when you talk about it from a job attraction, talent attraction standpoint, these are the highest of high tech and high skill positions. And again, you know, bringing in PhDs and scientists and engineers from around the country and around the world when you start thinking about the FRIB, and not hundreds or thousands of potential candidates. I mean, we're talking, you know, a handful, two or three potential candidates that can come in here and do this type of work and research.
And, you know, how does an industry spin around this? You know, MSU's job, they've done it, okay? The FRIB is in place. Our job is to create an industry around that.
Talk to us about that, because you're actually trying to, I mean, as impactful as FRIB and NioWave has already been, you're looking ahead, right?
Impression. We're doing an RFP right now to hire a major firm to help us understand better what that industry might look like. There are very few benchmarks, by the way, to look at. So I love that. You know, we're going to set the standard. I'm not a big fan, really, of looking at others. I want them to look at us. And so Ionitex, though, is a company that we help recruit here from the coast a year ago. They're similar to NioWave. So and they both serve with the chamber and with us and MSU on a really good group, an accelerator group that meets once a month and talks about us and helps strategize. We have staff at our LEAP that's working on this literally every day. And so we want to help, you know, not only are there the inventions in building upon ideas spun off from MSU, from Accelerator, in the future at the EFRIB. But Mark, one of the important points of creating an industry is just the sheer mass of talent, the talent pool in that specific area, nuclear physicists. And so they will feed off one another. They probably are going to steal from one another. That's a good thing. NioWave, Ionitex, the EFRIB, the accelerator.
Sounds like creative destruction.
That's part of growing an economy, right? Yeah. And that's what you want in attracting those types of individuals and that type of talent here. They need to have those additional other opportunities.
Because if it doesn't, Mark, this is super important. If it doesn't work out for a scientist who's recruited from Stockholm, either at the EFRIB or NioWave or Ionitex, it's very critical when you're recruiting somebody like that to say, yeah, but there are two or three or four other, you know, plan B's, C's, and D's to go to. It's critical to have that. And we already are developing in an incredibly fast way that sort of, you know, mass quantity of talent.
So I want to make sure I understand. EFRIB will employ 400 or so people, as I understand. It's in the hundreds of people, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So if we reach out to somebody with the idea of them coming to EFRIB and that doesn't work out, you're saying that there are other options in the Lansing area?
In my judgment, when we talk about creating an industry around the accelerator, around the EFRIB, there is the ideas and inventions and business creation, but I would say equally important is just having a critical mass of talent where there are choices of that sort of high level global physicists, that there are choices. And we definitely can say that right now, and we need to expand upon that in the future over the decades.
Our guest today on Current State, Bob Trezise, CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, and Tim Damon, CEO of the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. I'm Mark Bayshore. It's so interesting here because you ask the person on the street what these businesses are about, and I don't even want to think how many of them could really explain what this is, but there seems to be this widespread acknowledgement that we're onto something here.
It's high tech, it's technology, and I have to tell you, sometimes it's difficult for me to explain it.
Is. Every time we do a segment involving the EFRIB, I've kind of got to go back to square one. I say, what is this about?
Again, you put it into perspective. It's a $730 million project. It's going to have an economic impact to the state of Michigan of close to, if not more than, $1 billion. And in-use type products around medical, around homeland security, around defense type sectors. And I think when you look at NioWave, and if I'm not mistaken, I mean, they've had a number of different very large contracts with the U.S. Naval Department. And so from a defense standpoint, very, very critical, very important. And we know that sector itself has been very good to our region and has grown over the years. You know, as well with defense contracting and manufacturing. So, again, very high tech. And when we talk about it, I put it into perspective this way. They're the types of jobs that every region, every state, and every country are trying to attract and grow. And we're doing it right here in Lansing.
How much are you starting to get a handle on how much potential is there? Or is it just, are we still at such an early stage that it's hard to anticipate?
Well, it's both. I mean, I think we have a good handle on it. We've been very proactive creating this committee together. It's been meeting for 2.5 years or so now. In fact, at an earlier life, it was at the chamber. Even before that, it's kind of morphed in its mission more from marketing to actual, you know, development of the industry around it. When we were with NioWave and Senator Peters a couple days ago, you know, they were describing this, you know, another innovation that they are going to unveil, the only ones in the world, what they say, next summer. And it's all very exciting because it helps human beings. Not only is there obviously some defense parts of it, but, you know, maybe more importantly, there's a lot of medical parts to it. These are new ways to destroy tumors in cancer patients. And it's critical.
And it's particle acceleration.
It is, and it's critical to get these medical isotopes that they produce at that facility at the airport as fast as possible on the airplanes and shipped out around the world so they can be implemented. And by the way, talk about how proactive our region is. If we didn't have a revenue sharing agreement between the city of Lansing and DeWitt Township at that airport, which we put in place 3 years ago, and with the Next Michigan, and then Tim, you were so involved with the Port Authority and the Foreign Trade Zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that has added up. People at the time were wondering, with Bob Selig out there, well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? It's a pain in the neck. It's hard work. What does it mean? You know, but that's the new Lansing thinking.
Well, Luanna Simon told us, Lindsay Van Holly of the State Journal a week ago Sunday, that her whole approach has been incremental. It sounds like you're suggesting this has been an incremental approach all along, but we're seeing the dividends from that.
Our economic development efforts over the last 10 years specifically have been at a blazing pace. And if you just think about what is here today, but what wasn't here just 10 years ago, I would put that on par. And this is not rhetoric or pom-pom waving or anything. It's statistical. If you were to put us on par with some of the biggest regions in the country that we always talk about, forget Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids. I'm talking about Austin and Columbus and Madison and these guys. You know, we have an equal story to tell, ranging from Fortune 500 companies to the TechSmiths, Liquid Webs, IDVs, Comlinks, ACD.net. I mean, on and on it goes just in that area. NioWaves. Neogen, you know, we pick up Crane's magazine a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and I think we kind of have a quaint attitude about Neogen. Okay, Neogen here, you know. There's Crane's. You know, it turns out Neogen is the third largest revenue producer for any biotechnology firm in the entire state of Michigan. Number one is Stryker. I mean, they're in the category of that, you
right,
know.
Right.
And yeah.
Update our listeners. We're talking with Bob Trezise of LEAP and Tim Damon of the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce here on Current State 90.5 WKAR. Update our listeners, please, on the Red Cedar Renaissance, the Joel Ferguson Frank Cass project. What's new?
Well, I'm a lot. We're at a major milestone on this Monday night. We had a public hearing two Monday nights ago at City Council to approve the development agreement that would propel the whole project forward. It's including a purchase agreement of the property. And so this is a huge moment. And this Monday night at Lansing City Council, they will be considering approval of that development agreement. I think we're going to have a great positive vote. The council has been wonderful to work with. Mayor Bonero's leadership has been amazing. And we're thankful to Joe Ferguson and Frank Cass for this really game changer on all of Michigan Avenue. It's a global village what we're building.
It's going to change Michigan Avenue dramatically.
Well, that's what I look at it. And Bob has been, he's been involved in this project, I think, from the inception of the, you know, with the Red Cedar and the golf course and when it closed and to where it is today. But I look at it more and from a visionary standpoint, and this project is a game changer to that corridor. And I firmly believe, as do a number of other employers, as well as a number of other municipalities in this region, that corridor is the most important corridor in this region and one of the most important economic development opportunities for this region as well. And connecting campus to the capital, it should be the most vibrant corridor in the state of Michigan.
Could the Montgomery Drain project hang this up in any way?
I don't think so, because we're being extremely careful that there are two projects. One is the Montgomery Drain, and another project is the development project itself. The Montgomery Drain is about the whole Frando area and is huge.
They're not connected?
One can happen without the other. The Montgomery Drain can go forward without this development project. The development project can go forward
without the Montgomery Drain.
Oh, of course. My philosophy has been, isn't it smarter to coordinate and plan together and understand what one another is doing? It seems sensible. We can make it a much better overall project. I think save everybody money as well.
Bob Trezise of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, Tim Damon of the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce here on Current State. I'm under the impression, I'm pretty sure you both watch the Lansing City Council fairly closely, and you obviously hope that supporters of the business community are on the council. Vincent Delgado will be the newest member of City Council. How do you feel about Mr. Delgado?
I love Vince. I know Vince, and we've worked together in the past. He's been just a pleasure to work with. He's been very passionate about placemaking and global Lansing and really thinking in terms of being a global community and connecting MSU with our community. I just admire Vince very much.
Tim, do you know him?
Would agree. Do not know Vince, but Vince has reached out to the chamber actually before the application process started. But all the individuals that I've talked to have spoke very highly of him, and we certainly look forward to continuing to work with him.
I thought about both of you while reading about the mega liability, which reared its head just in the past couple of months. MEDC told state legislators on Wednesday that state liability for mega tax credits will increase from about $500 million last year up to $607 million by 2029. Those are significant obligations that will come out of state revenue. Will those payouts have an impact on what you two guys are trying to accomplish?
Well, I mean, I think that the conversation is more complicated than what it's being portrayed, both about the deficits and about the credits. The whole issue deserves a more nuanced conversation. One thing that isn't being discussed, I don't think enough about the credits, is the credits are on huge amounts of new revenue to the state budget. And I got to tell you, okay, you might wish we didn't have those credit liabilities, but then we wouldn't have the auto plants around either. And a lot of the other projects that we just excitedly talked about, in fact, all of them about, have used credits or reimbursements. So one goes with the other, and is, well, in my judgment, well worth the price of all the new revenue and as an assets that come in employing people. And I wish that part of the ledger was being discussed a little bit more. The credits deserve to be talked about. It's a serious issue, though.
We have to leave it there. I wish we had more time. Bob Trezise, President and CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. Tim Damon, CEO of the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. Stay in touch. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Mark.